it's Falcon.
Keep going. It's a Falcon Cast podcast.
Yeah, thank you,
Matt
Moore, for Jay making the space on the monitor as we start. But yeah, you know what? We'll keep going. It's the Falcon Cast podcast.
Well, you want to know why? Because I'm having some deja vu. I feel like we've done this before.
This is so nice. You do it twice, right?
It's second
time we've done this Falcon Cast. No one will ever see the first.
No one will ever see the first.
The first was classic, though. I'm sorry you guys missed it. It was classic.
Not going to throw anyone under the bus. But his name might rhyme with Ryan Schmosek, so we'll get to him later on.
You know, the funny thing we learned is that the important thing about podcasts is that the audio
needs to be heard.
Being able to hear that.
That's a big part of the show, huh?
Yeah. So we really just sat here in front of three cameras and talked to
each
other.
We just had a great conversation with each other.
It was great.
You know what? This one is going to be better. I feel it.
Are we good over there?
We might be.
Great answer. All right, so what we're going to do, again, is our top three offensive storylines.
Oh, man.
Top three offensive storylines heading into training camp. And I thought, you know, who better to deal with this than you two guys? I put mine down. I'll see if how mine compare to you guys. But really want to pick your brain on top three offensive storylines. I think we'll start from three and work our way to one. That seemed to work really good last time. So
over and under, we say that, huh? Over and under, at least five. Bro.
So, Shaq, I'm going to give you the honors. Why don't you give us your number three offensive storyline heading into training camp?
My number three storyline, two and three are kind of similar for me. They can go either way. But for me, I think it is finding your third option in his offense for Matt Ryan. You got what I like to call Hardy, Hester, and Hankerson, which in the first podcast we called the three H's.
Triple H.
Play a little Motorhead.
The Triple H package. Yeah. But out of those three guys, who could be the third option? Obviously, Ryan, Julio, they're your main targets. You're going to want to get them the ball, but sometimes it doesn't work out. They don't get open. That's just part of it. But which one of those guys can come in and fill that void of kind of what – we saw a couple of years ago with Tony Gonzalez, who was that, you know, he was your quote, maybe one or two, but he was a guy, especially on third down, that you can find inside the slide somewhere to get open. But I want to know which one of those three guys can be your third option, Hardy, Hankerson, or Mr. Hester.
How about you, Jay? And what do you think of that?
I think you're absolutely right, but I might have a solution for that with my number three, which is the tight end.
Oh.
That's a storyline that nobody's really talked about this offseason.
Very true.
And it's been, you know, one of those kind of holes since Tony left a couple of years ago. Even though you drafted Levine Toilolo, you know, asking anybody to be Tony Gonzalez is not going to work out. Anybody short of Tony Gonzalez. So, you know, the Falcons this offseason added a couple of tight ends, Jacob Tammy, Tony Moiaki. And I really think people are sleeping on Jacob Tammy right now, and I think that he could be a great option for Matt Ryan if he stays healthy. And I think the same goes for Moiaki. He's got to stay healthy. Both guys have dealt with injuries in their career. But just what Tammy showed that 1 year in Denver, and he's shown he can be the top wide receiver – or, excuse me, the top tight end target. I really think that he could do that in this offense, and I think you know, he could be a great third option that nobody's really paying attention to right now.
I like it. I like when you talk about the tight end, and I thought when you talk about Tammy, I look at his adaptation, being able to adapt to certain situations and certain parts of the game, and him playing in an offense where he got a lot of experience, he caught a lot of passes, and I think they work so well together. I think matching that same kind of mode of where he knows where his tight ends wants to be, where he wants to get open on third down. I think Tammy, Moiaki, Toilolo, all those guys can find those voids on third down, especially when you have to throw the football. When everybody's looking for Ryan and Julio, to have those kind of guys find some open areas for you and pick up, you know, quality first downs for you or pick up positive yards.
That was my number three as well as a tight end. I'm interested to see what happens with Levine Toilolo in this offense as
they're
well.
They're deep, man. It might be the deepest they've ever been a tight end.
Going back to that, interesting question. So, you know, Tammy worked in a Peyton Manning offense where things change.
Right.
It's chaos at the line of scrimmage. Well, Matt likes to run the, you know, the Texas 2-minute.
Yeah.
That's got to be good to have a guy like Tammy who's like, you know, win the 2 minute and Matt's barking out orders, you know, kill, that kind of stuff. That's got to be good to have a guy like Tammy.
Oh, absolutely. And when you have a guy who's kind of versatile like Tammy is, there are times where I remember we put the tight end in the backfield, and then that way we can use him in blocking schemes, or we can use him getting out in the flat right now just to get the ball out to a bigger defender. Him being able to adapt to a different type of offense in this type of, I want to say this type of field and what they want to do, I think it's going to be excellent for him. And it gives him, I think, a leg up because he played, like you mentioned, in an offense where he's used to things changing. And that's the type of way Matt feels most comfortable just talking to him in that no huddle where he can call his own plays, he can see what they're doing, get guys lined up, put them in certain spots and say, all right, this is what I want you to do. We can look up, we can look at matchups. And Tammy could be a good matchup versus any safety, versus any linebacker. And Matt will find that and kind of expose it.
That's good stuff. All right, Jay, how about you? Number two storyline heading into the training camp.
Number two for me is going to be the offensive line. You know, this has been a storyline for a couple of years now, and it's mainly due to health and depth. But, you know, the offensive line, we saw some guys leave. We saw some guys who are no longer with the organization, mainstays. Justin yep. Blaylock, Sam Baker, they're gone. So really – this camp battle that's going to be happening at different positions on the offensive line, I think, is going to be crucial.
Yeah.
Because keeping Matt Ryan upright is
number one.
A number one for this doubt. Offense. If you don't do that, and we've seen the last couple of years, if you no don't doubt. Do that, it's hard to win football games.
Yeah. And as much as we like to talk about the skill guys because they're important, they bring the fans to the stadium. But as a guy who's played the position, you understand the importance of having those big guys up front be able to protect you. And over the last couple of years, Matt has got hidden a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot, but he continues to get up. But that's not what you want. We yeah. know he's a tough guy, but don't show us he's a tough guy. You know,
right.
keep him upright. And Lamar Holmes being hurt this offseason. Jake coming back, you know, this year from his foot injury. Hopefully those guys can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. We know Lamar's going to be out for a while, but Jake coming back at 100% is of the utmost because he's a guy who you know who can be a mainstay on the offensive line and you know, to the other stuff. We saw James Stone last year come in and play awesome. You know, he's a guy who you know you can depend on.
And you mentioned Jake. I think that's one of two spots that are locked up as far as starters go. Him there on the left side and then John Asamoah right next to him. On the other side of the line, I think things are completely wide open. Obviously, at right tackle, you got Ryan Schrader and Tyler Palumbas who mm-hmm. are going to be fighting it out during training camp. I think that's going to be a great battle to watch. Left guard, is a spot where you're going to have to figure things out there. Chris Chester in the mix there.
Yeah.
And then at center, Joe Hawley and James Stone, I mean – Hawley is the starter. He was the starter last year, but I don't think you can discount, as you said, James Stone's play last year was phenomenal.
He played awesome, and I think the good thing about it is regardless of he doesn't start, you know what you get in Stone. You know exactly if he has to play, what you can expect out of him, and that's a good thing to have. And you got a lot of depth. We just named 5, 6, 7 guys who could fill the void along that offensive line, and then you also got a couple mainstays. So having depth, also having guys who've had that experience is big and also good for an offensive line when you need that continuity. But how fast can these guys gel? How fast can they get together? We just named one side of the line that needs to, you know, it's kind of wide open. You need to get those guys in there early in training camp, and they need to find a groove. They need to find a rhythm. They need to be able to communicate up front with each other and not have any hiccups. There's going to be a lot of defensive stuff coming at them, blitzes, a lot of stuff they got to be able to communicate through. If you got guys interchanging in and out, it's going to be tough for them to gel, and you only got 2 weeks before you play your first preseason game, so you got to make sure all those things come together pretty quickly.
And to that point, last year you went in with 15 different offensive line combinations throughout the entire season.
Crazy.
That's way too much by 14.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot. Right. So when you talk about gelling and how important that is, it's not a cliche. It's a very real thing. You know, you got to get that line established early.
Was that your number two as well, Shaq?
Yeah, it was. The offensive line. Keep it mad
up. Take
us
to number one. Give us your number one.
All right, number one for me is probably number one for everybody, and everybody understands this position, but I'm going to take it a little bit deeper. Obviously, I'm talking about the running back battle being number one, but for me, it's not about who's going to be the starter because we know all three guys are capable, and Anton Smith, you know, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, we know all those guys are capable of being a starter. But for me, I look at it as who's going to be the short yardage guy? Who's going to be the guy when it's third and one or two when you need those hard yards, or you're near the goal line, or it's fourth and one and you want to go for it? Because you don't want to have to be in the gun like the Falcons were a couple times last year on third and one or two trying to throw the football. You need somebody who can pound it in there. Which guy's going to be that? And also, a little wrinkle to it is, who's going to be that third down back as far as when you throw the football? We saw last year Devontae struggled a little bit in his rookie year picking up blitzes. He was there, but, you know, it's tough sometimes to pick up a blitz when you're not used to it or you're not really comfortable. Anton Smith was a good third down back, but he wasn't really the guy you wanted in there when you were trying to pick up a blitz. You knew he was getting out in a screen game or something like that. And Quiz is gone now, so he's the guy who usually do it. So third down is big for me for running back.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, the running back battle is number one for me as well. But I think everybody's looking for the who's going to be the 1,000-yard rusher kind of deal. But I think what you mentioned is way more important, and that's who's the third down back, who's going to create that pass protection.
Right.
As you mentioned, Jaquizz Rodgers gone in the offseason due to free agency. That was your top pass blocker, mm-hmm. you know, on third downs. Him mm-hmm. and Steven Jackson would share that role. But, I mean, Quiz was never afraid to get up in somebody's face and, mm-hmm. and to protect Matt in that way. I think you've got to look at the stock of running backs that you've got. I mean, Tevin Coleman is I think, a he's built like he can pass block, but mm-hmm. we've got to see where he is in that category. You mentioned Freeman's struggles in that category. And then Anton Smith is a guy who can do it, but yeah. Is he the guy that you want doing it? I think you got to look at Jerome Smith as well, the second-year running back out of Syracuse who spent time on the practice squad last year. He's built just like a Jason Snelling, and I know that everybody's fixated on these top three running backs. I could see a situation where the Falcons carry four running backs mm-hmm. this year, mm-hmm. and Jerome being one of those guys, because I think he can get it done in the short yardage situations, yeah. and I think he can get it done in the pass pro. So I think you know, that whole battle, that how things shake out at that position is going to be really interesting this summer.
And here's one last thing I want to point out is a lot of people look at the running back position and say, okay, a guy has to be a certain size to be able to pick up a blitz. And mm-hmm. for me, that's not the biggest thing I look at. I look at these guys have to know who they're blocking.
Right.
And that's why I talked about the offensive line being critical, because they have to be able to communicate up front to each other. And then they have to turn around and communicate to the running backs and say, okay, we're blocking the front five, the down five, and the middle linebacker. You see the center always comes out. All right, we point to the mic. Offensive line has a four down and the mic. Then running backs have to get Mike, or they have to get the Sam, or they have to get the wheel. They got the safety coming down. They have to be able to communicate that to the running backs. Then the running backs have to be smart enough to know, all right, this is the guy I got. And defenses are so, so good now. They can disguise it. They hide it to the very last moment. And then you got to know who you have in order to be pretty good in this offense. So it's all about, you know, run the football, but you also got to know who to block at certain times, and you got to be able to communicate that well. So the earlier the offensive line can communicate that, the better. And that's why I said they have to gel and have to communicate early, because if they don't, the running backs have no idea who they should be blocking then.
Very good. It's time to go to the man of the hour, Mr. Brian Bosak. A little break with Bosak.
Oh,
Bosak. He's the man of the hour?
Now I'm the man of the hour.
How does he get away with being the man of the hour?
It was sarcasm.
Oh, okay.
Now, what do you got, Brian? Let's do this again.
I heard your best. Let me hear your worst offensive storyline.
What do you got, Shaq? Worst offensive storyline.
Okay, so when I thought about worst offensive storyline, I took it in a kind of different role than probably you guys did. When I thought about the worst storyline would be the worst possible thing that could happen, and you guys don't get mad. Don't. It's not going to happen. I'm sure it's not going to happen. We already know it's, you know, I'll leave it like that, but the worst storyline for me would be you open up the paper, and it's August the 8th, and it says Julio still not in camp.
Yeah, Shaq, come on.
You said the worst. That could be the worst storyline ever. We know it's not going to happen. Julio said he's not.
It would never happen.
But just hypothetically, I just, you know, threw it out there.
Also, who still opens a newspaper, Shaq?
I see people do it all the time.
Oh, okay.
Or you log on to AtlantaFalcons.com.
There you go.
All right, Jay, what do you got?
I took it in a very different way, as in, like, what would be the worst storyline to talk about, because it's not really a story, and that would be, like, who's the Falcons' number one wide receiver, because yeah. we
No point.
One that I knew was going to get Jay's blood boiling a little bit.
And did I get your blood boiling? I got it boiling.
A little bit. That would be Herschel Walker looking to get that third running back spot in camp this year, running back for the Falcons. So.
The only thing that could make me angry would be what color jerseys are we wearing?
Herschel Walker coming. What color jerseys? TB determined.
Yeah, right.
That's good. What else you got for us, Mr. Bosak?
This other one, I was watching Seinfeld this past week, and there's a good episode, and Elaine dates a man, and he's got the same name as a serial killer. and they announce his name in the stadium, and everyone's like, oh, shoot, the serial killer's here? So everyone's freaking out, and then he stands up, and everyone looks at him, and they want Elaine wants him to change his name,
His entire name, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So then they talk about changing his name. So if you guys could change your name or had to change your name, what would you guys change your name to?
By the way, Bosak almost dropped an S-bomb on
that. Oh, he was close.
I can tell you, you did a last
thought about it. You thought about it.
Off camera, he's got a filthy mouth.
Filthy. Filthy McNasty.
I'm going with Raul.
Raul.
Yeah.
I could see Jay like painting a picture.
Raul.
Like, hey, what's up, Raul?
Raul sounds like a fighter, man.
Yeah.
See, I think like artist.
Suave.
Artist. Yeah. Suave. Oh, suave, debonair.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the things I'm not currently.
Shaq, what are you going with?
I'm going with one of my favorite movies. And Maximus.
Yeah, that's good.
Maximus just sounds just.
Maximus Shockley is an amazing name.
That is like.
Maximus Shockley. That is good. We just brought in a new senior director of game entertainment and events, and Pete Soto. Everyone will get to know him. He's a great guy. But his youngest son's name, when I got to know him, he's like, yeah, my third son, Rocco. It's like, what a great name. Rocco.
Rocco the Don, man.
You're not getting picked on at school if your name's Rocco.
The rapper Rocco.
He's got a modern life. Great.
All right. Very nice. Very nice.
Rocco.
I see what you did there. All right. Video of the week. Mr. Brian, what do you got? Animal Rampage. This scares me a little bit. So what do you got?
Some elephants at a beach in Denmark. They're part of a traveling
circus. Why wouldn't they be on the beach in Denmark?
So the trainers wanted to let them cool off in the beach.
You know, I've seen this video twice, but I still love that guy like wearing the Speedo, the animal trainer in the Speedo.
Oh,
which
yeah. He's got this.
Where's someone in this?
Like Tidy Whitey's
the
on.
The blonde guy.
Right there.
Yeah.
The guy with the bucket and the whip.
So they went out there just to give him a little cool off and.
Yeah, let's take our baby carriage close, kids. Yeah, right. Let's get real close and see him.
Oh, and they're taking them back to their facility.
Of course they are.
And they lost track.
Yeah, they obviously lost track.
Speedo guy, not doing well.
And what you want to watch out for is this guy in the black shirt with the cane.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Don't do
it. Is he a part of the circus?
I hope not.
Well, why he's would not you anymore.
Nope. Why would you do that?
Is that your car?
Hope it's not.
It was your car.
Jeez. He picked that thing up like a little toy car. Look at that.
You know what's great about this video? I know it comes on like World's Scariest or something on like True TV, and it's like the announcer's like, and as you can see, you should not do that. In Denmark, number 10, Denmark. Let's take you to Denmark as a traveling circus comes to town.
That dude with the cane should be arrested.
Yeah,
that
not cool. You know, that's the motto on this Falcon cast. Don't cane elephants, right?
Nah,
Jay,
man.
Come on. Let's not do
what
that.
What about
don't
a
cane any animal?
Or the other motto is don't get in this cube.
Don't
right?
get in a glass cube in a grizzly cage. Like, what are we doing?
What does she think is going
to happen?
What are
we accomplishing here?
Japanese game show.
She just wanted to see how close she can get to the bear. Is that it?
But like, is there audio on this?
No, there's not.
I bet it's terrifying.
No, like,
audio.
At some point, there's no audio of her, like, just freaking out.
Oh, there might be.
She keep trying to get that camera on, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, she keep getting them action shots.
This is great. All right.
This guy's like, I said no flash photography.
No paparazzi today.
Yeah. There you go. Well, very good. You know, I'm going to be honest. I think this was better than the first time we did it.
Yeah?
Oh, I don't think so. I think the first time was fantastic.
I'm not negative. Very good.
Negative Nancy.
Very good. Well, thank you.
We ought to just hit the guy Bosak for it.
Yeah, you know what? Throw this one at Brian.
Yep.
Your camera?
One,
there you go.
Two, three.
We'll see you next week.
Boom! 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 In the face!
Back for Ross Knapp.
In the face.